Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
For some reason, I didn't see that when they put it up the first time, so I had to check and see what Kayla was saying about me. I'm assuming that's who put that together. All right, got to get all my stuff ready. Okay, well, good morning. Already covered that part, didn't I? Congratulations to all our graduates. I don't know if, yeah, look at there. Every one of those kids there is in our youth group, and they attend regularly, every one of them, I promise you. So we got a, awesome group of eighth graders, and I'm excited to see what God does with them as they move into high school. You know what? I'm going to brag a little bit on them. They, when they were giving out the awards the other night at the eighth grade graduation, promotion, whatever you want to call it, the vast majority of them were kids that were in our youth group. So, great bunch of kids. Well, I have a little confession to make. This is an old sermon, I guess. This is one that I did 4 or 5 years ago. When Michael said something about me speaking Sunday, a little bit of a last minute thing, not too bad, but, and I thought, yeah, I got an idea about what I want to say and what I think God wants me to say, and golly, I got to trying to write that, and it was, like Michael said, it was like chasing a squirrel. So I suppose I fell back on, I found this folded up in my Bible, and I thought, well, you know, that's a little appropriate. We can go with that. And I got a little inspired by Ellie Ten Eyck, who ran two personal bests at the state track meet this past week. So congratulations to her. And I'm a little bit biased about bragging on Ellie because we kind of consider her part of our family too. And her and Emma are been best buddies for a long time. So congratulations to Ellie. Any other runners here today? No, not one person? Boy, this is going downhill. Yeah, Zach and Libby, you guys run a little bit, don't you? No? Who? Spencer and Kayla. Yeah, that's right. I see Kayla pounding the pavement every once in a while. She looks like she enjoys it a whole lot more than I do, though. I know Faith has run a marathon before. Anybody else? Libby? I envy those people. They have something that I do not have. Whether it's just grit and determination or some kind of mental toughness, I don't know, but I don't have it. As Christians, the life that we are called to live by Jesus is much like a race. In fact, the Bible makes a lot of references to the Christian life as running a race. Paul probably did it more than anybody else. He says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. He also mentioned in a letter to Timothy, he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. But it's not a sprint, is it? No, not by any stretch of the imagination is it a sprint. And I know I've heard Michael say that a lot of people look at it that way. Just kind of a short burst and then you're done. Whew, I got my fire insurance. I'm good. I can live any way I want to now, right? No, sir. It is a marathon. It is a lifelong journey to complete the mission that Christ has set before us. We have a job to do. And I think if we're honest, we would all admit that it's not as easy as maybe we would have hoped, right? It is a struggle sometimes. And I think legend has it that the first guy who ran the quote-unquote marathon, where they get the name for that race, after a great battle, he ran the 26 or 27 miles, whatever it is, to report that they had won, and he dropped dead right there on the floor. So if that doesn't tell you that we shouldn't be running that far, nothing else will. But anyway, it is not as easy as we had hoped it would be. It's a struggle, and we are met with temptations and trials through life and a lot of resistance from this world that we live in, unfortunately. And I fully believe that it is getting worse every day, and I fully believe that we are in the last few miles, so to speak, if you know what I mean. So we can't quit now. We can't slow down. And Jesus himself warned us about this. Jesus in Luke said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him take up his cross daily and follow me. Paul, again, to Timothy, said, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It's going to happen. So not only is it a long, hard race that requires endurance, but there's going to be some hurdles and some obstacles. And the spectators may start throwing things at you. It sounds like a lot of fun, doesn't it? So how do we get through this race? How do we reach the end, still running strong? Well, certainly Christ is going to be with us every step of the way. He did promise that as well. But is there anything else we can do to help ourselves reach that goal of becoming more like Jesus? Now, I'm not talking about salvation by works, by any means. Just trying to say that, you know, we want to try to do our best as followers of Christ and run the race that he's put forth in front of us. How do we do that? Well, there's got to be some training, right? Any good runner, any athlete, they train themselves. They work at it. If you're running any kind of race, the first thing you got to do, at least for me anyway, you got to get your mind right. Right? That's the very first thing. It is as much mental as it is physical. Maybe that's why I'm not a runner. I don't know. I think the first thing you got to do is realize that this is the race that Jesus Christ has laid out for you, for all of us. And you have what it takes to finish it, and not only finish, but to finish strong. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus, the one who spoke the universe into existence and holds it all together, is the one who's laid out the course of your life. He has a plan for you, a specific plan, for each and every one of you. It's not the same as the person sitting next to you. It's different. Jesus knows what it is, and he's got it all planned out already. Let's look at 1 Peter 1:1. To God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces. Scattered. You could say sowed or spread out. I think when I did this, I looked up the Greek meaning of that word, and that's what it means. Like, it's like you're spreading grass seed. God has put you where he wants you to be, to grow and produce fruit for him. So bloom where you're planted. You're there for a reason. All right, Matt, let's look up 1 Peter 2:9-10, please. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had obtained mercy, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Everybody know who Arnold Schwarzenegger is? Yeah. Big. Huh? Yeah. Well, a big movie star. Now, years ago, before he got into movies, he was a bodybuilder. And he won Mr. Universe or Mr. Olympia or something like that 3 or 4 times. I don't know. Just muscles upon muscles upon muscles. When I was in college, my roommate and I we'd go to the gym every once in a while and work out a little bit. And we kind of had an ongoing debate. My premise or argument was that if we worked long enough and hard enough and we spent hours in the gym and we took care of our bodies and put in the hours that Arnold Schwarzenegger did, we could look like that too. And my roommate, he would look at me and look me up and down and just laugh. He'd say, "Sax, you're crazy." He says, "Never gonna happen." I said, "Why not?" He said, "A huge portion of that is genetics." He said, "It doesn't matter what you do. You're never good. You would never look like, you might look a lot better, but you're never going to look like Arnold." And I think he's probably right. But when we talk about living for Jesus and doing what it takes to finish this Christian life strong, look at that again. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness. It's in your DNA through Jesus Christ, right? You have what it takes to keep running for Jesus and finishing strong and to reach the finish line. And it's part of our purpose for living. You are all those things so that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you. And to do it effectively. So, get that through your head. All right, well, the second thing you got to do to be a good runner, you got to train your body. It's something that all great athletes do. You got to get your body right. It's a good runner, it's a whole lot more than just going out and running and moving faster than a walk. There's strength training. They make some diet changes. They don't go when they go out for a run, they don't go run up to the Dairy Ripple every time and then go home. They're getting plenty of sleep, right? So there are things that they don't put into their body that they don't eat. There are things that their friends may be doing that they abstain from so they can get plenty of sleep, so they can be ready for training and ready for the race. 1 Peter 1:13 and chapter 2:1-2. 1 Peter 1:13, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let's go ahead and look at that next one, Matt. Hey, there he is. He's way ahead of me. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. So what's he trying to say here? Get ready. Prepare yourself. Get all the things that are hindering you from listening to or being obedient to God out of the way. Now, it may not even be something that's sin, necessarily. It's just keeping you from having the kind of relationship with God that you could have. It's keeping you from being effective in living for Him. You know, what keeps you from reading your Bible or spending time in prayer? Is it the television? Is it the internet? Is it this thing? Unfortunately, since I got one that's smarter than me, it's this thing for me. I grade on my kids, but I'm probably worse. Now, it's not just avoiding the bad things either. The best athletes are eating the best food, right? They're putting good things in their body. Philippians 4:8. Brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. What we expose ourselves to affects us. Whatever we allow into our minds and our hearts, it has an effect on your life and your walk for God. I was listening to the radio the other day. Madeline and I had it on Joy FM. That's one of her favorite radio stations. And they had a little blurb there, but it was a testimony from a man who had spent most of his life addicted to drugs, and especially methamphetamine. And it talked about how he was in prison. He spent Christmas Eve in prison, and that really got his attention finally. And he gave his life to Christ. And then he talked about, and of course it totally changed his life, and he talked about how listening to Joy FM, his Christian music, was one of the things he did that helped reprogram his heart. And he no longer had those secular cues that were triggering him and leading him into this, or keeping him, helping to keep him in this drug addiction. So what we see, what we listen to, what we're doing, the people we're hanging out with maybe, has a huge effect on us. Now the other thing you got to do, obviously, to be a good athlete and also to be effective in living for Jesus. And yeah, you got to work at it a little bit. We got to give it some effort. It's not enough just to say, hey, that's great, and then go home and sit on the couch, right? A big important part of any runner's training is they try to push themselves harder and farther than they've gone in the past. They want to challenge their body, and going through that hardship of going beyond their limits or abilities makes them stronger. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Michael has talked before about stepping out of our comfort zone. And I suppose that's how he got me to up here. But and how God may call you into a place where you are not comfortable at all, or even strong enough to handle on your own. We need to be striving for more, looking for the next opportunity that God has for us to serve. So I would challenge you to challenge yourself in service to God. Volunteer for something that you've never done before, or that you just flat out don't think you can do. Talk about stepping out of your comfort zone. That's going to lead to discomfort, obviously, which is going to lead to change, which is going to make you stronger. Miss Helen told me once, God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. And I think she's right. Miss Helen is usually right. You make yourself available, God will use you. Now finally, the best runners and athletes are the ones that love what they're doing, right? You can see it on their face. I see some people running up and down the road and it looks like they got a knife jabbed in their back. That would be me. But others, yeah, they're breathing hard and their face is red, but you can tell they enjoy it. They enjoy getting out there and competing, or just going for a jog, just getting their heart rate up. And you can tell that it brings them happiness. And the reason that is because that's their thing. That's their thing. Each one of us, every one of you has a thing. Some talent that you have been gifted with by God to use in his service and for his glory. Romans 12, 4 and through 8. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, give with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, do it with cheerfulness. Find your gift. Find your talent. Find your thing. No matter what it is, find it and use it to expand the kingdom and bring praise and glory to God. Now, we have some wonderful examples of people in this church who do this on a regular basis. I think I've mentioned this before, but have you guys ever really watched Rodney play the drums? He's a fantastic musician, but for me, when he plays the drums, he's worshiping God. He really is. It inspires me. When Kayla is up here leading the choir, now, most of the time you just see her back if you're sitting over here. But if you get to see it, sit over here, you can see her face. It is pure joy. And she does a wonderful job with planning the music and helping out with youth stuff. She loves it. That's her thing. And I will promise you, Casey Lipkeman may love your kids more than you do. Now, that could be because she doesn't live with them. But she is totally dedicated to making sure that this youth group is learning about Jesus Christ. And not only learning, but trying to put some of that to work in their lives. I can promise you that. Rebecca. I have never failed to see Rebecca without a smile on her face. She loves what she does, and she's awesome at it. She keeps that place going, does all the little things that nobody sees. And the most amazing part about that is she works with Michael every day. That is a miracle, if I've ever seen one. I'm going to leave you with this. And this is the same scripture that we started with in Hebrews, but it's a little different version. It's called The Message. And I love this. It says, do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus. who began and finished this race that we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, the cross, the shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility that he plowed through. That will shoot adrenaline into your souls. I agree with that. We think about the life that Jesus lived and what he did for us. That ought to empower us to keep going, keep running, finish strong, and living for Christ. Amen? All right. Well, if you bow your head with me, we'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, I'm so grateful for this church, God, and that we're growing, Lord, and what all these people here have meant to me in my walk and to my kids. Lord, we pray that you will continue to bless us the way you have. God, I pray that you will strengthen each and every one of us every single day to keep living for you, keep our eyes on you sitting at the finish line waiting for us, God, and to keep running harder and stronger as the days go on. Lord, we thank you for your watch care over us and your protection. And not only that, but providing, Lord, everything we need and then some. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Rain down.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.